You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the racing at Newbury and Musselburgh. We've also got action on the artificial surfaces at both Lingfield and Kempton Park. So a jam-packed day to come on William Hill Racing Radio. And you can hear all of the action, every single race live and in full with expert betting tips and commentaries on Racing Radio on Wednesday afternoon. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead at four races on Wednesday afternoon is Craig Forsyth. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Enjoyed the racing over the last few days? It was a decent international meeting again at Cheltenham.
Yeah, I did. Cheltenham and Doncaster at the weekend. That was some good stuff. I thought the big race, the 2.5 handicap chase, was a little bit of a strange finish. I backed Aso in that, obviously. And thought I was set to collect at one stage. But fair play to the four-year-old Freuden, who kept digging deep and seen his race out really well.
Yeah, and we saw the likes of the new one and My Ten So Yours in action as well. And looking forward to this weekend, the Long Walk Hurdle, obviously at Ascot, will be the feature. You know what I mean? Harry is declared for that, bidding to make it seven wins in a row for him. And there's quite a few horses in that lineup who really excel in the race. The likes of Rev the Civiler can never be ruled out in that particular contest. But that looks set to be a good renewal this weekend.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, Rev de Civiler, obviously part-owned as well by our very own Andrew Mount. We wish him luck. At the weekend, a horse doesn't know how to run a bad race at Ascot, does he? And, you know, I think the one thing this year is that it looks like it will be much better conditions for the horses to race on. Usually with this meeting, you know, we associate it with heavy ground and sometimes it's barely raceable. And when you get to the handicap hurdle, I don't know what name we're racing under this year. What is it, the West?
I'm not sure yet.
Youth or whatever we have this time around. It's usually run almost in darkness. But to meet the like and looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Away from the racing, then we'll address some of the news. And we have to start with the sad news that's dominating the racing pages today. The death of Walter Swinburne at the premature age of 55. A little bit before my time, Craig. But you watch the videos of him. A very, very stylish jockey in the plate. And will be sadly missed by everyone in the racing world.
Yeah, 55 is no age at all, Sam. And very, very sad. Fantastic jockey. Obviously, the one ride that sticks in my mind is Lamtara.
When
he won the 95 Derby. Fantastic, aggressive ride. And although he was just starting off in racing when he was booting home winners in the saddle, you know, I remember him more as a trainer as well, when he trained a lot for his father-in-law, the Peter Harris, and particularly the colours that are memorable. Didn't have a great deal of big name stars in the yard, but you know they did win a Royal Hunt Cup, and that proved, you know, him to be a very good trainer. And it just desperately sad. It's been a sad year for jockeys of that era. Obviously we've lost Pat Edry as well, and shocking news yesterday. Very sad, and condolences to all his family and close friends.
Absolutely. Condolences indeed to the family and friends of Walter Swinburne. In slightly better news regarding jockeys, Craig, we're looking forward to seeing the return of the champion jockey Jim Crowley on Wednesday afternoon. Of course, he was involved in that four-horse pile-up at Kempton Park, which so sadly left Freddie Tylicki with a T7 paralysis. Jim got away with a broken nose on that occasion. He's been riding his daughter's ponies, from what I gather, at home. It will be good to see him back tomorrow. And he's also obviously been given a top job this year on the back of his maiden champion title.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, obviously it looked horrendous at the time. And unfortunately, you know, a few days later, the sad news regarding Freddie was out there. But Jim, you know, on the other hand, ended up with a very, very, very light injuries, considering how it looked at the time. And it's great news to see him back on the track. He had a fantastic year last year. He's got, as you said, a new job to look forward to. Owners that didn't have great success this year with the horses, but there's some promising young horses coming through in those colours, and I think he's all set for another big year. Can he retain his title? I think it will be much more difficult with the job he's got this year, obviously, to ride the Sheikh Hamdan Al Maktoum horses, and where he would have been, you know, more livelier ones, let's say, because there's a lot of those horses that need educated, you know, and get brought through, and so it will be more difficult for him this time around, I think, to retain his title.
Yeah, that is true, but I suppose on the flip side of it, it's...
He's riding better horses and better races. Yeah, indeed. And, you know, you need to balance that up and obviously racing for more prize money as well. Mm. So less work, more success.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not a bad position for Jim to be in. We wish him the very best of luck then when he returns to the track on Wednesday. I did think it was interesting that he's been riding the ponies at home. It'll be slightly different than to that when he returns to the track proper.
Yeah, obviously, I think he's, you know, get his fitness in and what have you. And I'm sure, you know, he'll be 100% when he returns to the saddle. And it's great to see him back, and we wish him well.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. Two venues where we won't be seeing Jim Crowley at on Wednesday are Newbury and Musselburgh, where we'll preview a couple of national hunt races for you now. We start at Newbury with their 130, and Novices Limited Handicap Chase here, just shy of 3 miles is the trip. It's a competitive day's racing for a midweek meeting at Newbury, Craig, and this race is just one of those.
I think this is probably the race of the day. Mm. It's very, very competitive. Yeah. A lot of horses, a long shortlist, which isn't really a good thing,
ideal, no.
Sam, when it comes to trying to find a winner. But I think we'll start with the top weight, although he wouldn't be the selection. But I think we need to touch on Beware the Bear, who stayed on strongly to win at Ascot over 3 miles last time. He beat Single Farm Payment, who had jumped the better of the two. But Beware the Bear was a stronger stayer, and he came home well. Single Farm Payment, as we know, went to Cheltenham on Friday, won the Novice Chase again. You know, his jumping being a major asset. So that's strong form. He's definitely one to have on any shortlist. Lessons in Milan, I think, is the type of horse, again, from the Nicky Henderson yard, to do much better this time around. Not badly handicapped on 134. Warrior's Tale, who previously trained by Nicky Richards, just taking a while to find his feet with Paul Nicholls, but seems to run his best races nowadays at Newbury. The flat track certainly suits his style. Finished a good second here. He's only gone up a pound for that. He should be capable of a bold show. But the one I'm going to go with here is John Joe Neal's horse, who looked the type that would go on and make a better chaser than he did over hurdles. And he made a real promising debut at Fontwell over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Jumped exceptionally well for a novice first time up. He bumped into more bucks on that occasion. A horse that has gone on and franked that form. It looks very, very solid. He's stepping back up in trip on Wednesday as well as Monbeg Gold. He's got cheek pieces on for the first time. Aidan Coleman, a positive jockey booking. I think he'll improve a fair bit on his debut. He's only a six-year-old. He'd definitely be the selection in the 130.
Monbeg Gold then for Craig. Then John Joe Neal and Aidan Coleman teaming up with that one in the 130. We move to Newbury's next race on their card. Then this is the 2 o'clock, a graduation chase this time. Again, 2 miles and 7 furlong is the trip. Just 6 runners declared at the time recording, Craig, but an interesting little heat as a couple of these were pretty useful over hurdles.
Yeah, it is interesting. Camping Ground, who, you know, has got his stamina to prove, steps back up to 3 miles. He's only attempt at this trip over hurdles. He didn't look to get home behind Thistlecrack at Cheltenham. So I think there's definitely stamina issues there with Camping Ground. Three Faces West, who bounced back after a shocking display at Carlisle. He never went a yard at Carlisle on his penultimate start. The distress signs were there at an early stage, but he absolutely bolted up off a mark of 135. 12-pound rise. I think that's stiff. Three Faces West, and I don't know if he'll be up to this class, if I'm being honest. So he was one that I'd be looking to take on. And I ended up coming back to Just a Par here. Paul Nicholls, a horse having his seasonal debut after a layoff of 235 days. In recent years, he's needed his first run back. But if you go back 3 or 4 years, he's won and been second after a layoff. So he has gone well fresh in the past. And when we last seen him, you know, he finished a very good second to the Young Master in the big race in the spring at Sandown. So that was a real strong form. He's not badly in at the weights for this graduation chase. And providing he's fit to go on his return, Just a Par would be the one for me.
just a par then for Paul Nicholls, and Sean Bowen gets the nod in the 2 o'clock at Newbury. We go over to Musselburgh now then for a couple of races north of the border. We begin with the 250, which is a handicap hurdle, 2 miles and 3 furlongs for this one. What did you make of this heat?
Yeah, I like Tio Vivo here for Pauline Robson, a horse that runs this track really well. You know, versatile in terms of distance and trip, 2 miles to 2.5 stays that trip well. Strong traveller. Ideally, you know, needs delivered late because does travel for a long way on the bridle. I don't think it's badly handicapped on a mark of 125. Should get a decent pace to aim at here. I would imagine Tap Knight may return to front-running tactics after finishing second at Wetherby last time. Has led around here in the past. Arthur Secret, I think the ground may be too lively for him. Johnny Delta could end up being the biggest danger, a horse who I didn't think would return to form over hurdles after such a horrendous fall. I think it was at Haydock at the end of last season. But, you know, he's come back and run 2 game races here at Musselburgh, and he's on a decent mark of 108. He could well be the biggest danger to the top weight Tio Vivo.
Okay. Craig's selection then in the 250. We go to the 320 now at Musselburgh. This is another handicap chase over 3 miles. What did you make of this contest?
Well, Sam, there's only one horse I can bet here.
Right.
To be honest, there's a lot that you know, as you go through them, the old pen comes out, line through. You know, you know the form, you know the horses as individuals, and you're putting lines through because you don't think they're going to win a race. And the only one that didn't get the old ink mark was horse number 5, Proud Gamble.
Right.
A horse that stays particularly well here at Musselburgh. He was in a better race last time, stepped up in grade behind Blue Cascade. You know, ran a decent race. You know, there's nothing hiding now. The handicapper, you know, there's not a lot of room for manoeuvre off his mark of 97. But in a race like this, he can probably afford to run a few pounds below his best. And still win. You know, he's only a 7-year-old. He's the one that is still improving. Shine of Diamonds fallen back to a decent mark, but he has a habit of making too many mistakes, and the costly mistakes. So couldn't really have him. And the rest just do not appeal. I mean, this is a one-horse race, and for me, I would imagine he'll be fairly short in the market as well. Will Pro Gamble. Rose Dobbin's Yard is in good form at the moment as well. They've had several winners in the last couple of weeks. Craig Nicol knows the horse particularly well. He's the one that ticks all the boxes, and I think he's going to be very, very difficult to beat in this company.
Okay, strong selection then for Proud Gamble in that Musselburgh 320 race. Just give us a quick spin through, please, Craig, and a quick recap of your 4 selections for the races we've previewed on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, we're going to kick off on the 1:30 at Newbury. I think this could probably be the best value of the 4 selections, and that's Monbeg Gold. I was particularly impressed with his chasing debut at Fontwell. And then 30 minutes later in the 2 o'clock, we're going with Just a Par, who returns from a 235-day layoff. First one at Musselburgh is the 250, the top weight Tio Vivo for Pauline Robson. And finally, in the 320 at Musselburgh, the banker of the 4, Proud Gamble.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much. Then the thoughts of Craig Forsyth ahead of Wednesday's action. Thank you for that, Craig, and enjoy the racing and best of luck.
Thank you, Sam.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hills Racing Radio on Wednesday afternoon, where we've got Newbury and Musselburgh on the agenda, as well as 2 all-weather meetings from Lingfield and Kempton. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.